Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Experientially Speaking, a podcast from Red Peg Marketing. I'm Chris Gehring, and on the other side of the break, I'll be joined by my Red Peg colleague, Colton Wright, and Brandel Jones, who is the director of connectivity at Kenny Leone's True Colors Theater Company down in Atlanta, Georgia. We had a wonderful discussion about the role of art and theater in providing access and equity in our communities and much more. It was a really, really great conversation, and we can't wait to get to it. But before we do, I want to quickly remind you to make sure that you subscribe to the Experientially Speaking podcast wherever you're listening. And if you like the show, please leave us a rating and comments. Without further ado, let's get to our conversation with Brandel and Colton. All right, and joining us now is a very special guest, a friend of a colleague of ours, Brandel C. Jones, the connectivity director of the True Colors Theater Company in Atlanta. Brandel, how's it going?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me today. It is so great to, of course, be here with my dear friend, Colton Wright, as well. So it's a great day.
Colton, a colleague of ours here at Red Peg, our digital designer. Colton, how are you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
Doing well. It is Friday. It is a beautiful day in DC. It is like 60 degrees here. So it's a lovely day, perfect day for a Friday, and really excited to have this conversation. Brandel, again, thanks so much for joining us. And I think to start off, we can start kind of broad. And I want Colton and Brandel, you guys can kind of introduce the relationship. It's you guys met through SCAD. And, you know, both have pursued careers in the arts since, and very different ones. But I'll let you take it away, Colton, and just kind of introduce the relationship, and then we can go from there. But I'm really, really excited to dive into the True Colors Theater.
For sure. Yeah. So me and Brandel met at SCAD. Pretty sure on our very first day, we were walking to orientation, I believe. And then we actually lost touch, I think, for maybe the first semester. And then I remember we picked it back up and we had a big old jumbo slice and we just talked about life. And that was the bloom of our friendship. And it's, I don't even know, maybe almost 10 years strong at this point. And he's one of my best friends and I rely on him heavily for support and just being a good friend. So I'm very, very happy that he is here and happy to introduce Brandel.
Oh, it warms my heart. Well, you know, Cole is absolutely right. It is amazing that we met on our very first day on campus and remain connected, even though we've lived in different cities ever since we graduated in 2015, I believe it was. Gosh, where's the time gone? Yeah, it's like this counting. I try not to count. Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing that we've stayed connected, especially because that at SCAD, Savannah College of Art and Design in Savannah, the departments are basically in different buildings. So it's very easy to go, you know, your entire time there and not meet people in different departments. So I think we were lucky that we met on the first day. And I forget how we ran into each other. I think it was maybe going to the dining hall or something or on the bus. Yeah, it was something like that. We happened to run into each other. And I don't know, even though Cole was in illustration and I was in performing arts, we just bonded. And I'm so glad that we've stayed connected ever since. Of course, you know, it's common when you graduate from a program and, you know, move away, it's easy to become disconnected. But I think we've done a good job of staying connected, you know, and just putting it on the schedule when we have time. But staying in one another's lives has been just a joy. Pure joy.
Yes, absolutely.
That's awesome. I mean, you know, we talk all the time about how important it is, especially right now. You know, your title at True Colors Theater Company is connectivity director. Staying connected, connecting people, bringing people together for, you know, experiences, and then using those. I think we just had this conversation, Colton, internally for us, like using shared experiences to like keep people together, bring people together. It's awesome. And like, I love hearing stories like that. I think whenever somebody has something from a, you know, a formative time like college and it stays through when you get to experience other things, when you become, you know, a full-blown adult like we all crazily are now, like you keep those relationships and those friendships, and it's just really special when friends go all over the place and you get to, you know, hear about what they're up to and what they're doing. And so I'm so glad that Colton made the connection here and that we have you on today. And I think, you know, the next thing that I definitely want to dive into is just kind of from SCAD, you know, you have had a career in the performing arts that has kind of run the gamut. You've gotten to do a lot of incredible things in your career. And I just kind of wanted to hear from you, your path, your journey to certainly True Colors now, but kind of the purpose and the passion that's driven your career since then.
Yeah. Well, you know, I started as a performer, and I originally went to SCAD to study performance, but I realized that there were more opportunities for me as an arts administrator. And so I also studied arts administration there, and I quickly was hired for positions in arts administration in Atlanta after graduating. And so originally I was in the for-profit sector. I worked in film festivals. I worked for a film agency. And then after, I guess, a year or two in Atlanta, I was recruited by the local government to be part of their new projects and initiatives for Fulton County, which is the largest county here in Georgia. It encompasses Atlanta as well as other cities. And so that really started my nonprofit career, which I've remained in ever since. And my personal mission, I always tell people this because I think this is so important, because of course, working in nonprofits, you always work for an organization that has its own mission. But my personal mission is always to uplift the downtrodden through the arts. And so here in Atlanta, that means over working with primarily the African-American community, which has been the most overlooked and needs the most services. And so 2 years ago, I was invited to join the staff at True Colors Theater Company. And for those of your viewers who may not be familiar, True Colors Theater was founded by Kenny Leon in 2002. And Kenny Leon is one of our most acclaimed directors today. He's won multiple Tony Awards. Most recently last year, he won the Tony for A Soldier's Play on Broadway. And he also directs in film. He directed The Wiz Live and Hairspray Live on NBC. He directed the movie American Son with Kerry Washington. So he's an amazing director, but his work is focused on the Black experience. So the theater that I work for is a Black theater company. And our mission is to celebrate the rich history of Black storytelling while giving voice to bold artists from all cultures. And so I get to celebrate Black stories every day. And we're in the middle of an amazing season, our first of three seasons of Sankofa. Sankofa is a Ghanaian word that means to retrieve. And largely it is interpreted to mean in Ghana as a journey forward begins with a look back. So right now we're celebrating the roots and the classics of Black theater in this country. So that's been my journey. And I, in my role as connectivity director, I am essentially the civic engagement branch of the organization. Our vision at True Colors is to thrive at the intersection of artistic excellence and civic engagement. So I manage various community engagement programs, such as taking artists to public transit stations to perform for the public, having community conversations that matter to the Black community regarding social justice and art. So I get to do really fun, exciting work with our amazing artists here that I think ultimately create an impact or make an impact in our community here.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think just to kind of dive a little bit further in, I mean, we've talked about, and you know, if you go to True Colors Theater, truecolorstheater.org, for those who want to check it out a little bit more and kind of explore the mission. But I think, you know, when you dive further into it, so much comes from representation in any part of the world, any industry, any part of our society. But you know, part of the mission that I was doing a little bit of reading about, a little bit of research for True Colors, is just like, of course, it's providing access to the arts, but also like opportunities within that space and within that industry. And that's something that you've lived too. And how important is that part of it to, you know, not only provide access to the community, but bring people in and, you know, take people with you.
You know, it is so important. Access is huge. You know, especially when we talk about the African American community and other marginalized communities that have historically not been invited or not been welcomed in many artistic spaces. And so much of our programming is focused on providing that access to high quality programming for the Black community here. We launched a new initiative last year called the Next Narrative Initiative, which provides opportunities for us to commission emerging playwrights and established BIPOC playwrights as well to create new works. One of the challenges is that we need more Black stories as part of the American theater canon. So we have various initiatives to enhance that. But also, you know, you bring up a good point about inviting others into see our stories and to participate. We know that living in isolation in a bubble is not helpful to anyone. And we talk a lot about what's going on now with the various political legislation that's attacking Black history. We think about these claims of critical race theory. I mean, who would have ever thought that in the 21st century, there would be legislation to ban books by the amazing Toni Morrison? I mean, what century are we in? What country are we in? I mean, it's shocking. But it just shows us that it's so important that we know Black history and that we celebrate it properly. I mean, I think it's difficult to hate a group of people when you have had a chance to experience their stories through art, when you've had a chance to get to know them. And art, of course, is the great connector. And that is the power of theater, film, art. It helps us to have a safe space to not only discuss these issues, but to understand one another.
Yeah, I mean, I think you couldn't have said it better. And I know that, you know, as somebody who I was saying before we started recording, as somebody like I, you know, experienced the arts growing up, it was part of my education and just part of my my experience growing up. I couldn't agree more that it's such a common ground that people are able to gather around, and I think that you're able to gather so much more understanding through the arts, and certainly, I mean, through the performing arts when you get to, like you said, tell those stories. I think you have a captive audience when you have people, and there's no distractions when you're sitting in the theater. When you're hearing a story, you become immersed in it. And you know, I think using that to kind of gather a deeper understanding, to gain some introspection, I think it's able to accomplish all of those things. And just the mission of True Colors, and certainly of, you know, like you mentioned, Black storytelling in general, not just the mission of True Colors, is important this month, but it's important all year round. I think we'll get to that part too, and why these purposeful inclusion, purposeful access helps us and helps our society. I think we'll certainly get to that too. I know that Black History Month, I know like it elicits a lot of tweets, it makes for a lot of advertisement. But I think it's something that, you know, if we are able to sustain that celebration, that introspection, and all of that throughout, you know, throughout the year, then we may maybe have a better chance at progress.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I even think there was something that I saw someone posted about how instead of calling it Black History Month, it should be Black Future Month, because what we're doing is setting up the future for others to progress and get better. And I really like that. And I almost want to start calling it that, just because we're in a time now where inclusion and diversity is so prevalent and it needs to be talked about. Just that phrase alone, to me, it's very inspiring, because like it needs to be, everything needs to be corrected.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's when we don't understand our history, it's easy for our history to be used, sadly, as a weapon, selfishly, by those in positions of power. So I think making sure that our stories are told properly, making sure that we understand our history correctly, is so important, not only for young people, but for adults as well.
No question. And I mean, you know, it's part of what we do at Red Peg. We'll have future podcasts, we'll have future conversations about a whole number of our employee resource groups, and being purposeful about that inclusion, about diversity, about equity. But I think, you know, I think that there's just something about being purposeful in those pursuits, and then getting buy-in from, you know, your executive team, from your community, like you said, Brandon, and bringing all of those things together. It just makes for a stronger company, for sure. But it helps. There's power in the numbers coming together and being able to make those differences, both internally at any company or organization, but in the communities that they live in and they, you know, walk around in every single day.
Well, you know, and I think it's what studies have shown is that, you know, a thriving workplace does not exist in a bubble. You know, especially when it comes to workplaces that are trying to invite communities of color in, you can't create a sense of belonging in a bubble. And so looking at this holistic approach of what does it mean to be in a thriving environment, not just a thriving workplace. And so all of these touch points, you know, now of course, all of those aspects are not within the control of a company, but there are things that can be done through, as you mentioned, the focus groups. You know, are there certain outings? Are there various team building exercises that can be arranged? But there's so much that a company can do to create a space in which all of its employees feel that they belong and are welcome.
Absolutely. So, Brandel, I wanted to ask, a two-part question of, one, the logistics of running a theater company during a pandemic is certainly a challenge. And I'm curious how you have kept those things together, how you have used the space and just managed the logistics of regulations and bringing people together. But I also know that there have been so many topics in society that True Colors has wanted to address through art, through conversation. How have you managed that programming, made those decisions around what comes to the stage, what conversations come to light around the Atlanta community specifically, but the country as well?
You know, this has been certainly an exciting season, but a rocky season as we continue to battle the pandemic while trying to find a way to continue to present our story. So right when everything shut down in March of 2020, we had just finished our show called Schoolgirls or the African Mean Girls Play. It's a play that's set in Ghana and inspired by the movie Mean Girls. It's absolutely hilarious play, but also very brutally honest while also being hilarious, beautifully written by wonderful playwright Jocelyn Bio. And the play, if I recall, premiered or have been presented off Broadway. It's a beautiful play. So we were lucky that show ended right before everything closed down. So we had been off the stage, off our main stage, until late November of last year. And we were able to come back with the amazing show called Maria and Rosetta, which is the story of Sister Rosetta Tharpe, who is known as the godmother of rock and roll, and Marie Knight, who went on to perform with Mahalia Jackson. So this dynamic duo traveled the South, traveled the Jim Crow South in the 1940s. And they were the first to combine an electric guitar with gospel music and Elvis, Jimi Hendrix, so many others accredited Sister Rosetta Tharpe specifically for really creating what we now think of as rock and roll. So it's a beautiful story to tell, one that is largely unknown. And so this season, as I mentioned, is our first season of Sankofa. This is the hashtag go back and get it season. So after telling the sisters of Sister Rosetta Tharpe and Marie Knight, we wanted to, of course, we wanted to reach back to A Raisin in the Sun. And our goal, this month, we were supposed to be on stage with the show, with the musical Raisin, which is a musical based on A Raisin in the Sun. But we realized that we could not safely produce that show. It's going to be a large cast, lots of singing. There was just no way to do that safely. So fortunately, we were able to pivot to have some small scale readings of plays that were inspired by A Raisin in the Sun. So we're having we will be opening this upcoming week with the play Younger by Calandra Smith, who is primarily known as an art critic, but she wrote this amazing play, which is a prequel to A Raisin in the Sun. And then that will be followed by two plays that are sequels to A Raisin in the Sun. The first sequel that we will show, that we will present, is Beneath This Place by the playwright Kwame Kwai-Arma, and followed by the play The Etiquette of Vigilance by the playwright Robert O'Hara, who is probably most known for his absolutely hilarious play called Booty Candy. So this is a wonderful, wonderful trio of plays to inspire discussion. Of course, in Atlanta and in many, many American cities, we're seeing dramatic effects from gentrification that are affecting communities of color, specifically the Black community. But it's rooted in a history of segregated housing policies. So we are able to still have this conversation in our community, and we're presenting all of these readings under the umbrella of the reality of realty. So we really want to get to the core of the message that Lorraine Hansberry, who wrote A Raisin in the Sun, what is the message that she was really trying to present? And we were really fortunate. About 2 weeks ago, we had a great conversation, a community conversation called Segregated by Design, Laws That Shape Where We Live, that was presented in partnership with WABE, which is Atlanta's NPR affiliate, and also presented in partnership with the National Center for Civil and Human Rights, which is here in Atlanta. We had a great in-depth conversation about segregated housing policies and how they continue to affect Black communities today. Of course, the dramatic wealth gap between the average Black family and the average white family can be directly linked to those segregated housing policies as Black communities over the last generations have not been able to amass the amount of wealth in comparison to the average white family. So that edited recording of that conversation will be presented on WABE in the coming weeks, but we will have the reading starting as well. So we have a lot of great content. And I would recommend that your viewers take a look at, go to segregatedbydesign.com. The amazing filmmaker Mark Lopez created this. It's about a, I guess, 15 to 20 minute animated video to really help people to easily understand the history of segregated housing policies. And we were lucky to have Mark Lopez for our community conversation. But take a look at that. And so you'll, that really gets to the heart of what we want people to understand through these readings. So those readings will be taking place soon. And then we will close our season, the musical Fanny, which is based on the life of Fannie Lou Hamer. It's an amazing one-woman show that tells her story beautifully. Of course, Fannie Lou Hamer was an outspoken advocate of voting rights. And so we're going to have various programming around that, including a community conversation called My Vote Matters, the Past and Present Battle Over Voting Rights. And of course, here in Atlanta, Fulton County, we are ground zero for the battle over voting rights in America. So no better place to have this conversation this season specifically. It's really getting to the heart to some of these ongoing issues of our community, while also celebrating the joy of pioneers such as Sister Rosetta Tharpe, who broke barriers at a time when many opportunities were not available to artists who looked like her.
I was going to say, I think that covered like two or three extra questions that I had coming even as you were talking. But just, you know, the responsibility of, you know, I think when you have this platform as artists or as a company of artists, you know, and using that platform, using that responsibility, not only to, you know, present art, but also to say, hey, we have this space for these conversations that, like, we're going to host these conversations. We're going to talk about, you know, issues that are impacting our community, impacting literally, you know, our Atlanta community, but our, you know, the country at large and the world in many aspects. I find that really inspiring. I think it's awesome when you have a space that's created for one thing, but you're able to find so many other, you know, applications and ways to bring people together and to raise those topics, have those discussions, and present them in an open and honest forum.
Well, you know, I think it's about understanding our role as a nonprofit organization. We are, so True Colors is the only professional Black theater company in Georgia. And there actually are not many professional Black theater companies throughout the country. Most of them are located in California and New York, but it's rare to find. And so, you know, it's understanding our role as an organization that has access to some of the best Black talent, not only in the city, but in the region and in the country. Of course, Kenny Leon's contacts are a great resource as well for our work. And understanding that the unique position that we have to be sort of a storehouse of Black stories. You know, I was just speaking with a group the other day, and I was telling them that over these past 2 years, I've understood that my role is not only to be an arts administrator, but to be an educator and to be a historian. And art has the ability to do that. So we consider the social justice or the social aspects of our work to be equally as important as the art. There's a direct link between the two.
No question. And I think when you find organizations that the bottom line is, of course, you want to have a successful theater company, you want to bring a lot of art to the stage, you want to bring people in. But when the purpose aligns with all of those goals all the time, you end up with a really, really special place. And I really appreciate you coming on to share these stories. And Colton, thank you so much for bringing this conversation to light. Brandel, it's been awesome to talk to you again. TrueColorsTheater.org. We can follow on social media as well, right?
Yeah. Is it all Instagram, True Colors Theater? Facebook, Instagram, Facebook, all the facial stuff.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's all good.
True Colors Theater, True Colors Theater on everything. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, yeah, for our listeners in Atlanta, we need to go and you need to support True Colors Theater. For the rest of us, let's follow along. And then Brandel, we certainly would love to have you back and have another conversation about all this great work. And you know, you just using the arts for social good is just a really powerful thing. I appreciate you sharing the stories.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you, Cole. Always a joy. Always a joy.
always a blast with you, Brandel.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That'll do it for this week's episode of Experientially Speaking. Thanks again to Colton and Brandel for a wonderful conversation. Please subscribe to the Experientially Speaking podcast wherever you're listening. And you can subscribe to our weekly Pulse newsletter as well on redpeg.com. Thanks for listening, and we will talk again very soon.